This is the fourth in the series I'm calling Humans as Male and Female. And Della Mazze put me on to a few interesting questions and a little bit extra research. I appreciated that. And it caused me to do some more research about men and women in the beginning. You know, my brother was hired by my dad when he was an electrician. I never got to work with my dad as an electrician, but I did work with him at the service station. I was his helper. You know, my dad told me what to do, go out and put some cans here, go do this, and I did it. I was his helper. My brother was his helper in the working for him as an electrician. And he went to work, and he was a journeyman electrician, and my brother brought him things, handed him things, carried things for him, and he'd tell him, go out and get this, go out and get those wires, you bring me these tools, and my brother did it. The word helper has a, in the English, connotes somebody who is more submissive or subservient, in other words, somebody else is his boss. So here's the scripture in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper. This is New American Standard Version. I will make a helper suitable for him. The New King James Version says a helper comparable to him. The New Revised Standard Version, a helper as his partner. The New Jerusalem Bible, I'll make a helper for him. They all say the word help. The King James actually says, I will make a help meet, M-E-E-T, meet for him. So you have all these things. So traditionally, the English word helper connotes many different kinds of ideas that are not accurate for the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word for help meet, you see what we say, does not suggest a subordinate role at all, as the English word helper does. No subordinate role here. It means the one who complements and completes, in a sense. This is one definition from the Brown, Driver, and Briggs Hebrew lexicon. In the Bible, God is frequently himself. God is described as our help. Our help. The same Hebrew word is used for a woman, as Eve, I will make a help. I'll make him, he doesn't find anybody here, but I'll make a help suited for him. And that's it. And we'll go into that word too. So the same word, God is our help. The one who does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. The one who meets our needs. In this context, the word seems to express the idea of an indispensable companion. Someone who's indispensable to the man. Now let me read you a few. This is where the Hebrew word is used of God. Same word as is used for the female, the woman. In the book of Exodus, chapter 18, verse 4, and he said, this is Abraham saying, my father's God was my help. They translated helper, but it's the same Hebrew word, I will make an help or help or help meet. Abraham said, my father's God was my help. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. This is Moses, not Abraham, I'm sorry. Moses said this. My father's God was my help. Same word as used in help meet. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Here's that word again. And this he said about Judah. You know, when they were blessing the tribes of Judah. Hear, O Lord, the cry of Judah. Bring him to the people with his own hands. He defends his cause. Oh, be his help against his foes. Be his help, God, against his foes. This is talking about Judah. In Deuteronomy 33 and verse 29, blessed are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Eternal. He is your shield and your help and your glorious sword. God is the help. Now, this If God is our help, are we bossing God, or is God submissive to us? No. God is supplying something. He comes in and helps us at times when we need it and we can't get it for ourselves. This is in Psalm 33, verse 20. We wait in hope for the eternal. He is our help and our shield. Psalm 33, verse 20. Psalm 115, verses 9 through 11. O house of Israel, trust in the eternal. He is their help and shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the eternal. He is their help and shield. You who hear him, you who fear him, trust in the eternal. He is their help and shield. Same word. God is the help. God is the help. Same word used of the woman. I will make a help. You see it in Psalm 121. This is a beautiful psalm. I love this psalm. It's one of the psalms of going up at the feast. Psalm 121 and verse 2. My help comes from the eternal, the maker of the heaven and earth. My help. Psalm 124 and verse 8. Our help is in the name of the eternal, the master of heaven and earth. Our help. Psalm 146, verses 5 and 6, but I'll just read verse 5. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the eternal, his God. So here, words used, the same words, same word as was used for the woman, I will make a help. This is, God is our help, an indispensable partner. The woman then has to supply what the man was lacking in the design of creation. And logically, it would follow that the man would supply what the woman was lacking, right? I mean, they're going to supply each other. It's a mutuality. Although that is not stated here, she's his help. There are Hebrew scholars that feel that the word should be translated help, a helper equal to him, a person to help. Translations such as suitable for, matching, you know, I will make the word meet, I will make a help meet suitable for. Now, that word is like a unique word. It's one of the almost unique words in the Hebrew text of the Old Testament. So you don't have many places where you can find much more definition. But this is what scholars have come up with. Translations like suitable for, matching, corresponding to, capture the idea of this Hebrew word. Translators that render the phrase simply as partner or simply as a partner or something like that, while not inaccurate, do not reflect what this word means. So you have two words, a help and suitable for. In the Hebrew expression, this word means according to the, literally means according to the opposite of him. I will make a help according to the opposite of him. So the man's form and nature are matched by the woman's as she reflects him and complements him. Together they correspond to, in short, the Hebrew word that indicates that she has everything that God had invested in him. So when he sees her, when God created the woman, he sees her. He recognizes immediately that this person is a complement, a opposite but necessary part for him. So the Bible talks about out of the ground God formed, you know, every beast and so on, and he formed and he saw that there was none for Adam. There was none. Remember, Adam was naming all these animals and so on. This is Genesis chapter 2. The man gave names to all the animals, but for Adam there was not found a help suitable, complementary to him. So the Eternal caused a deep sleep to come and fall upon the man as he slept. I guess that's the first anesthesia, anesthetic. He slept, for then he took one of his ribs. Now, the truth is, the Bible doesn't use the word ribs. The Bible doesn't use that. The Bible says, he says he took side. He took his side. The Hebrew actually means, and he took one from his sides, which could be rendered part of his sides. He took part of his sides. Now, what that means, that where the sides are, people have said it was a rib. Okay, I'm not going to argue that it was not a rib. It probably was a rib. It might have been. But the Hebrew literally doesn't say ribs. It says he took it from the sides. The idea then fits better with the explanation by the man of the woman, you know, who's flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. I mean, he recognized she's his flesh, not just a bone. And he closed up the flesh in that place means he closed up the flesh under it. Wherever he took from the side, he closed up the flesh under it. So when once he got it away, under that he took, was the flesh was closed up. The Eternal fashioned into a woman. The Eternal God fashioned into a woman that side, because it says rib, but it means the side, which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. It was a help like a helping being, which was, well, the man stood then in need of help, right? In order to fulfill his calling, not only to perpetuate and multiply the race, but also to cultivate the garden, to conquer the earth. Listen to what God said in Genesis chapter 2 again. It is not good for man to be alone. Now, in the first chapters of Genesis, these first two or three chapters, this is the only place it says not good. Everything else was good. Everything was good. All the things were good. All the animals were good. And God saw that it was very good. He created the stars. He created the grass. He created the animals. And he saw all was very good. The only place not good was man being alone. Right? Man being alone. So God made us as humans to need someone, even beyond the fellowship we have with God. You say, well, I just want to be me and God. Wrong. I just want it to just be me and the Lord. I'm going to go off and it's just going to be me and the Lord. I'm just going to pray and that's all I'm going to know. Wrong. You need other people. You need people around you. You need somebody around. You need to talk to somebody. You need to bounce off your perceptions to people. You need other people to... Did you hear that noise? Did you see that thing? People who live completely away from everybody, a hermit, and usually that's mostly men that do that, not women. But people who live that way get strange. They get strange up here. They get strange in their mind. Because they have nobody to bounce ideas off of. They have nobody to talk to. They have nobody to say, did you hear that? Did you think that? Did you feel that? And they have nobody. So they are all into themselves, almost like an autistic person you become. So we need fellowship with God. Man, as male, man could not fulfill his role over the creation without the companionship of the woman. And of course, he could not fulfill the command to multiply and fill the earth. So the Hebrew word is often described, as we said, as God himself. All right. Now, I want you to read Genesis chapter 1. I want you to notice the commonness, the mutuality, what God says to them. He says it to them. This is Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man, that is Adam, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So male and female fall under the heading of Adam. He listen, he blessed them. God said to, this is verse 28, them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Okay. And you see it in verse 26, let them rule over the fish of the sea. Women rule. Women are the undisputed, can be, you know, as a human being, they're part of the undisputed rulers of the earth. Women could wipe out all the animals if they chose with the inventions so that they have in their mind and their hands and building things. They could wipe out every animal too. Man has to be careful. We are the most dangerous of all the species, you know. We kill for nothing, you know. We just kill for the pleasure of killing things sometimes. And we can poison the earth, wipe it out. Let them rule over the earth. We're supposed to rule over it, take care of it, and watch it, and be careful with it, the whole creation. He created them. In verse 28, he blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, you know, I saw on one of the senators, I think it's a senator, was a woman elected to the Senate. She, maybe she's not elected to the Senate, I forgot what house, but anyhow, she's elected. She's a member of Congress. And I heard just a part of an interview where she said, I was a fighter pilot. I was a fighter pilot in Iraq or something. She's a fighter. She, can imagine, she's a fighter pilot. Behind one of these things, it goes up in the air and turns in this way and that way. And she can endure the what do they call those, the numbers of, when you go down, so the G's, they call them the G's, you fly down like that. She can endure that. She wouldn't be all upset like my stomach would be, and she's flying this thing. She can handle that. I have a client who has a friend. Her friend was in the Air Force. Her girl, a friend, a woman friend, who went into the Air Force, flew jets in the Air Force, came out of the Air Force, got a job with Southwest Airlines as one of the pilots of Southwest Airlines, and was commendated because with her quick reaction and everything, she saved the plane from an accident. So, women, behind the wheels of enormous power, enormous. We can't even imagine how much power is in these jet planes. And in the commercial airlines, you take this thing and you're flying it, and you land it, and she does it all the time. Cannot. So does she have power? Absolutely. So the specific amount of the creation of woman, the specific account, account of the woman in creation, compared, if you compare the Bible's account of how a woman was created with the other Near Eastern literature, you'll see that the Bible's account of woman being created is unique. Now people say, well, David, then why should we, well, shouldn't women be ruled over? Because God said after Eve deceived Adam, she didn't deceive Adam. Adam was not. She got deceived by the snake, and she took the thing, and the Bible says she should be ruled over. Now, let me read this account here in just Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. The Lord said to the serpent, remember after, he said, what have you done? You know, and the woman said, well, the serpent, you know, you made this serpent. He deceived me. Now, I could understand that she would be easily deceived. She had nobody to lie to. Nobody ever talked to her about it. She never thought anything about it. It'd be easy to say that. And you know how you deceive people? You know how your kids are going to experience if you have children or young people who go to colleges now and they believe in God and you get a professor who goes, you say, well, yeah, but what about God? He laughs like this. God, you believe in God, huh? And he makes light of it. He acts like you're kind of stupid for doing it. He acts like you're really missing out on the real deep things of life because you believe in God. He acts like the Bible is kind of a passé literature that nobody really thinks of, filled with superstitions and craziness. So this is how they begin. They begin this. And what did the snake do? Here's what he said. Here's what the snake did. Did God tell you you couldn't eat of any of the trees? And she said, oh, no. He told us we could eat of any of the trees. We can have all the trees we want, except that one in the middle. We can't have that one, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because, you know, he said in the day we eat of that, we'll die. And the snake says, God knows better than that. You won't die. It's wise. It's there for you to be wise. You laugh at it. You know, you make fun of it. And if somebody says, well, really? People, you're going to miss out on this. This is a real deal here. Why don't you take it? So she did. So here come the curses. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the cattle, more than every beast of the field, and on your belly you will go, and the dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, meaning Christ. And he shall bruise your head, but you shall bruise his feet. You bruise him on the feet. Verse 16. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be to your husband, and he will rule over you. You'll be subjected. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, you have eaten the tree that about which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Now he lived be some 109, you know, close to nine, over 900 years, I believe. And Adam was there. This ground is cursed for you. Both, listen to this, both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you shall eat of the plants of the field in this, and by the sweat of your face you will eat your bread, you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, and you are dust, and to dust you will return. Now the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of everything living, all living. Here's the question. Is that curse for women and men and ground still going on today? That's the question. Some may disagree with it. Let me give you my take. This is my take, David Antion doctrine, and nobody else's. Okay. I don't think so. You know, I had my aunt, Aunt Betty, I called her. Her name was Elizabeth. She had 15 kids. 15 kids. Two sets of twins, one set of triplets in that group of 15 kids. The first two kids got killed on the railroad tracks. So she ended up with 13 kids. They were my cousins, first cousins. The last two were my age. The youngest of her kids were my age. So she started when she was like 14, 15 kids. She had them all the way up into her, you know, to the ones she had last were my age. And I was the firstborn of my dad's. So she had all these kids. My brother Wayne married a young woman, and it's my sister-in-law. She had no problem having children. She was just like, she just went in there, just a couple, like, she had, and that was it, a couple of deep breaths, and the baby came like that. She had no serious multiplying of pain. My mother had some pain because her hips were small. My mother had smaller hips, not wide hips. So I think in the time, and I read a book years ago saying when the introduction of margarine into foods, women are going to have a terrible time having giving birth because they will not get the vitamin E and the E factors that come from butter. And their hips will get smaller and smaller over the years. Now we have a lot of people, you know, this everything's cesarean and you can do it that way. So we got all kinds of new stuff to do as man gets modernized. But listen to this passage and listen to it with me as I read it. In Genesis chapter 5, dropping down to verse 27, he's talking about all the genealogy here. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived 182 years, Lamech. And he became the father of Noah. Now, Lamech was sort of a prophet. It's like one of the first prophets of the Bible here. Listen to what he prophesies. Now, Lamech called the name of his son, Noah. You know what Noah means? It means rest. I'm going to give rest, peace, rest. This one, he said, will give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands, arising from the ground which the Eternal has cursed. You know, I have planted a number of gardens in my life, and the only work it was digging up the soil, you know, kind of getting it ready, you know, using a hoe, using a shovel, you know, getting it all, putting the soil down and putting some fertilizer in it, making the rows, putting the carrot seeds in it, putting the little seeds for the, what do you call those little radish seeds in it, putting the onions in it, putting this in it, putting lettuce in it. And next thing you know, all I have to do once in a while, go out and pick some weeds out of it, but it just grows like that. Next thing you know, I've got a wonderful garden. It's making things. Put a tomato plant in it, if you can keep the gophers and the possums away from everything, but it'll come right up. It's beautiful. I wasn't in the sweat of my brow eating it. I was in the luxury of sitting out on the back porch and picking out something from the garden. I wasn't in the sweat of my brow. I didn't have to beat myself into insanity to enjoy the fruits that come out from my fruit trees and from the garden, from carrots or from onions or other things that you plant. You don't have to do that. These people did. And it made them furious, angry, bitter, and hateful. To the place that in chapter 6, we read this, chapter 6 of Genesis and verse 5, then the Eternal saw that the wickedness of Adam, that's men and women, was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. When you have a hard time getting food, When you struggle to just bear subsistence, when you are working and cursing, and your curse of the ground is not yielding to you, it's not coming out with its full strength. Today in America, America just signed a contract with China to take $250 billion of our produce, food produce, to send to China, so our farmers will make money. They don't do it in the sweat of their brow. They do it on with their seat and rear end on a big tractor and plowing the field, and they're making all kinds of stuff. I don't think these curses are here today. Why would we want to return to a curse of trying to rule men to rule over women? Why would we want to bring it when I think it's been vanished? Why do we want to go back there? Why do we want to go to the original sins? We'll talk more about why does the Bible say let the women keep silence in the churches? We'll deal with that scripture next week.